This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Construction and Power Women Investing.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Hola, Tucson. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Jeff Ronstadt without my big brother, Fred, who is in a bunker somewhere in Colorado. Wouldn't tell me why he was going to Colorado, but he is there, probably looking for a good bottle of tequila and a nice cigar. But today on the big show, I welcome my best friend. The lady that I love is my wife, Tiana Ronstadt. Hello, Tiana.
Hi.
This is Tiana's maiden voyage here on the Fred and Jeff Show. And folks, if you want to hear more about the Fred and Jeff Show, remember you can go to fredandjeff.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Lots of fun things because we are the guys and gals that talk about the people, places, events, history, and culture that make Tucson a great place to live. And you've caught us here on 104.1 or streaming live on the internet. And we hope you enjoy the big show today. What do you think, Tiana?
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. So, as always, the first segment is brought to you by our good friends at Tucson Happenings Magazine. Check them out at TucsonHappenings.com. Lots and lots and lots and lots of crazy stuff going on here in the Old Pueblo. Starting now and through the fourth quarter, folks, there is so much going on. It is crazy. As a matter of fact, earlier today, Tiana and I sat down to do our calendars for the next, really much, you know, for what, through the end of the month?
Right.
And there's just so much stuff going on.
Yeah, if you aren't out doing something, I don't know why. You're not enjoying this weather and everything that Tucson has to offer in October. It's amazing just to think what you could even go and do today.
Right. Tucson, look, Tucson Meet Yourself, happening right now, folks. If you didn't hit it Friday or yesterday, today's your last chance to go downtown and meet all of the folks, all the cultures, eat, listen to music, dance, buy some cool stuff that these folks have made. Tucson is more than just three little kids dancing around a sombrero like it was when I was a kid. Tucson, we have people from Africa, from the Middle East, from Central America, from, you know, Maricopa County, unfortunately. We got them from all over the place. And they're all downtown right now. Tucson, Meet Yourself. You will have a ball. Take the kids. Go say hi to Carrie at the Kona Ice Truck. They're all having a ball.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. We went down for dinner on Friday night and then ended up at the D&D pinball for an hour with our son, and it was really, really fun. It's just a great – the location is perfect. It's right downtown. You can enjoy 4th Avenue. The parking, obviously, is awesome. Everything is there and available for you. Some other great things that are happening today is there is a Tucson Buckets benefit happening at our friend Catavinos Wine over off Alvernon Way.
Just south of Fort Lowell.
Just south of Fort Lowell by the Tucson Botanical Garden where the Lego event is happening.
That's right. You could stay on Alvernon all day today. Go to Catavinos, have some tasty adult beverages, and roll over to the Tucson Botanical Gardens and check out the Legos.
You sure could.
Super fun. Folks, Friday, October 16th, our friends at SACA, the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance, are presenting Jazz Legends Live at the Lodge of Ventana Canyon. The lineup for this jazz show is unbelievable. John Clayton, Grace Kelly, Graham Dechter, Eric Reed, Lewis Nash, Corey Wilcox. I mean, Tiana, you and I went to this event last year when it was at Tucson Country Club. Yeah. It blew us away, folks. It is one of the finest concerts you will ever attend. And all of the proceeds stay here in the Old Pueblo. But it is it's amazing. So Jazz Legends Live, it's next Friday. Go to the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance website to get your tickets. They've got some discounts going on out there, but that is a super fun thing to do.
And also on Friday night, next Friday night, is if you want to put on some of your best duds and raise some money for our friends at the Steele Children's Foundation. There is an event on October 16th at the Westin La Paloma at 6 o'clock. All information is available at the uafoundation.org. All the money goes to raise for Steele Research and our friend Dr. Gashan. and all of our friends at the U of A Foundation. Thank you. Again, tickets and information are available at uafoundation.org.
Right. And if you're just wanting to go out and about and play with the kids after this weekend or next weekend, don't forget Downtown Tucson. There's a great newsletter called the Downtown Tucsonan. Check it out. Sign up for it because they always have great things going on here in the old Pueblo. But this week they sent out a great little newsletter, talked about the five kid-friendly things to do downtown. They start off with our favorite, the Children's Museum of Tucson. If you haven't been there, you got to go. And then from there, you can go to Get Air Trampoline Park, and then Rocks and Ropes, and finally, Playformance. And Tiana, you know the gal that owns Playformance.
Yeah. And they do so much for our community. It's just a great place. If you haven't been to Playformance, it's a great place to enjoy as a family.
It's awesome. And then after you've worked out at all these fun places, you can roll over to Hub and get some ice cream because that's a fun place to go downtown too. Very kid friendly. And then we're going to be talking about this a ton for the next month, folks, but we are getting ready for the 26th annual All Souls Procession. It is an iconic venue that happens here in the Old Pueblo. People from all over the world come to this event. 100,000 people will be downtown in November. The event is actually November 8th. Yep. But what's important is starting next week, all of the workshops start happening to help us get ready. Saturday, starting on October 17th, they're running all the way to October 1st. Every Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 4 will be the workshops. And you can sit down with local artists who will help you create something to honor a loved one. From lanterns to altars, masks, puppets, you name it. If you want to be in the All Souls Procession and you kind of want a kickstart to get in, if this is your first one or if this is your 28th one, this is a great thing to do. The folks down there, super helpful. It's free. They do accept donations because someone's got to pay the bill. But don't let money be an object to stop you going down and getting ready for the All Souls, participating in the All Souls. It's fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. They also have Procession of the Little Angels costuming workshops, which start October 11th. They just started and run through November 14th. Those are Wednesdays and Sundays. So the website to go and check all this stuff out is allsoulsprocession.org. And folks, we'll be having some folks from the All Souls Procession here on the show in the next couple of weeks to talk more about what they're up to. And Tiana, what else you got?
Well, I was just going to say, I think that All Souls, I mean, that makes us, there's a lot of things that make us unique. I think that's one that makes us very, very unique. And even if you can't go to the actual processional on the 8th, I would encourage you to go to one of these workshops and get involved in that way in showing your family kind of what makes Tucson so unique.
Absolutely. Now, you've got the list over there from all the Tucson Happenings website. Folks, TucsonHappenings.com, you go there and you can set your calendar for a week. And in front of Tiana, she's got, what is it, 5, 6, 7, 8 pages of stuff. Why don't you hit some of the highlights?
So some of the highlights that are going on right now is we have the Patagonia Fall Festival, which is, again, happening right now. They have a wine and beer garden this year. It's off Highway 82 between 3rd and 4th Avenue. We already mentioned the Tucson Meet Yourself. That is absolutely happening. There's an Oktoberfest today up on Mount Lemmon. If you want to get out of the weather here for a little bit, enjoy that up there. They're also having an open house downtown at the museum. I would encourage you to go do that and see that the toy train is operating. And that sounds like a really exciting thing, as well as the Flandry Planetarium show.
Flandro Planetarium, my love.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. You're showing your Tampa.
I know. I have my Tampa in me. There's also, I already mentioned one wine festival, but there's another one benefiting youth on their own. That is at Delectables. And there's also live entertainment happening from 1 to 4 today. Again, that's another event downtown. And then one that I found that's on the east side is Spellbound at Sandwiches and such, is having breakfast all day and Bloody Marys. So that's kind of a fun thing from 7 this morning till 8 tonight. So that should be a fun thing. The other thing that I was drawn to that we always have attended is the annual library sale. So one of the things that you want to think about is that you can always go buy books that, as they're, you know, collecting libraries, the Pima County Public Library sale is going on today on North Country Club.
Perfect. And folks, there's so much more. Tiana just kind of hit her favorites for the day. All kinds of stuff going on today, stuff that hasn't even started yet. There are theatrical events happening today, concerts happening today. Get on TucsonHappenings.com, check them out, make some plans, get out there and meet your neighbor. And in the last three, don't forget, next weekend, the Steele Children's Research Gala. It's all they're doing is raising money to find a cure for pediatric cancer. Number two is the Rotary Club of Tucson is having their huge car show at St. Greg's next Sunday. Tickets are $5, and that $5 ticket also gets you into a raffle to win a Corvette. Fantastic. All the money raised there goes for literacy programs here in Tucson, as well as other nonprofits. And finally, one of my favorites is the Fall Fair at St. Cyril School. That's kicking off on Friday and runs
Thursday.
The whole weekend. Is it Thursday?
Thursday night is the kickoff night.
So Thursday night, the kickoff night, runs the whole weekend. Tons of fun. Get out there and meet your neighbor. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more here on The Fred and Jeff Show. This bit of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Unicom Graphics, Steel Door, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Welcome back, folks, to The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Jeff Ronstadt, and I'm here with my lovely bride, Tiana.
Hi, everybody.
So we're here talking about the people, places, events, history, culture that make Tucson and Southern Arizona a great place to live. And we are right at the beginning. Actually, we're kind of right immersed in the busy, fun season here in the Old Pueblo, where the weather is getting nice and cool. You want to be outside. You want to maybe go hiking. You want to go downtown. You want to go hang out in the park, see a show. It's a great time to be here in the Old Pueblo. And our guest today, our first guest today, is someone who is near and dear to our heart, her organization. We're here with Angeline Fahey, who is the Encouragement Direct Program Manager for Beads of Courage. Mm-hmm. Angeline, how are you doing today?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We love Beads of Courage.
We do.
We love them.
Oh.
I mean, so folks, for those of you that don't know, Angeline, tell the folks out there, what is Beads of Courage?
Well, Beads of Courage is a nonprofit organization founded here in Tucson. Our international headquarters are actually here in Tucson. And what we do is we support 60,000 children coping with serious illness by giving them different color beads that represent procedures and milestones that they're going through with their treatment.
Wow. And having, you know, Tiana and I have a young man who went through mm-hmm. all of that. Beads of Courage are near and dear to our heart. And Larry's got, he's must have 1,000 beads. I mean, he's got
1782,
tons.
I think.
Yeah, 1782 beads.
Wow.
Right, that all represent something that happened to him right. in his journey to being cancer free.
Right. Yeah.
And you guys are doing this with kids all over the world.
Right. All over the world, yes. We're in 7 different countries and in 285 member hospitals here in the United States and growing every week.
And, you know, one of my favorite things that you guys do is the Carry a Bead program.
Oh, yes.
So we've done lots of fun things in our lives, and we always, you know, have that safety pin on my shirt with 2 beads on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you come in afterwards, and you write that very encouraging note to a child, and you put that bead in there, and you put a lot of that positive energy. So when that little person's going through a tough time, they can read how not only is this bead giving you positive energy, but hey, I'm thinking about you when I'm out in the world doing something, and I wish you were here with me.
Yeah, and it really makes a big difference for the children and young adults in the hospitals who receive those beads that have been carried, because they know that they're not alone in their treatment or that there's other people in the community thinking about them. And it really gives them that extra boost of encouragement when they need it on those rough days.
That's awesome.
Well, and it gives that nurse or, you know, physician, mm-hmm. whomever gives them the bead, that's really the connection I think that's so unique in
yes.
how Jean's vision was able to come full circle in that they can have a different relationship
yeah.
than, oh, you're the one that's going to poke me, or you're the one that's going to, you know, tell me some really bad news, or take me to get another x-ray or mm-hmm. MRI, whatever it is, that then they can say, hey, buddy, you did a great job, and I have this special courage bead for you because you really exactly. showed that extra courage today. So I just think it really, it goes full circle that someone mm-hmm. can carry the bead, and then the nurse can actually give the bead, and the child can feel that. So mm-hmm. it means so much to us. Oh. So it's great that you're here today.
Oh, thank you.
So, Tiana, you mentioned Jean.
Yes. Jean Broche is the executive director and creator. Is that the word
founder.
We can
She's
use?
The founder of Beads of Courage.
Of Beads of Courage. And we're huge cheerleaders for her as well as the organization. So we're thrilled that you're here today representing the organization. Thank you.
Now, tell us how you got involved with Beads of Courage.
Well, I'm actually a member of Beads of Courage myself. I was receiving beads when I was getting treatment for osteosarcoma cancer.
And then tell us what they meant to you.
Well, I still love my beads. I finished my chemotherapy in 2013, and I still hang on to my beads, and I really feel like they hold the whole story of what I've been through. And I can show people exactly my treatment story by just showing them these strands and strands of multicolored beads. And it's just one more thing to help me on those really rough days.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. And you're an adult.
I am an adult.
So something
I just turned 22.
You got, yeah. Congratulations. And you got these when you were a kid, and they still mean
them. I got them when I was 18, yeah.
18.
So, you know, it's for young adults as well.
Right,
it's for all ages, for, you know, all genders. It's really not specific to any specific person.
And it's super helpful on that road to healing.
Yes, very, very helpful for parents, for siblings, for the patient themselves, for the nurses, for the physicians, anyone involved. It's really a great experience.
Awesome. Now, you've got an event.
We do have an event, actually, on October 16th. It's a Friday. From 5 to 7, we are having a free event thanks to the Jim Click Automotive team.
They're great people, aren't they?
Yes, they're wonderful. Because of them, we're actually going to be able to hand out 100 free Carry a Bead kits at our event.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, it's called Courage Rally, and so we're really trying to get the community to be involved in carrying beads for these children and young adults coping with their serious illnesses.
And it's going to be at the Bead of Courage headquarters?
Yes.
Which is in Metal Arts Village, right on North Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a free event. So someone could really just stop by between 5 and 7?
Yep. You can stop by with your family. Especially we encourage family members to come, little kids. Come check out the Metal Arts Village and see what we're about.
That's very fun. And there's a new store in there, too.
There is, the Hop Shop. It's a craft brewery that just opened up next door.
Are they going to be open during your event?
Yes, they should be.
I bet you they are.
And we'll have food trucks and like raffle prizes. And so it's a really great day to come and check out the new shop and also to come.
Now, is this event for building friends or building funds or both?
A little bit of both. We're trying to wrap the community in with Beads of Courage, trying to get them more involved in these kids' treatments, as well as raising more funds to able to get the beads for the kids.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully in the very near future, it will be very common to see somebody at a U of A football game or their kids' soccer game or even the kids playing soccer wearing those Carry-A beads.
Right. That's what we're going for.
Yeah. So really, any type of event that you or a family member, somebody, I mean, if you know somebody that plays football for Arkansas, or, I mean, anybody out there that's doing something that's fun for them, whether it's climbing a mountain or scuba diving, it doesn't matter. We want those folks to carry these beads and then write a little card, write a little note to that kid, an encouraging note to that child. So when that kid gets that bead, it makes their day.
Yes. And you can also include your pictures with the bead as well.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So they can see who you are.
That's a great idea.
And it's Carry a Bead kit is great if you're involved in El Tour to Tucson. So if you want to carry a bead while you're riding, you can definitely do that. And you can also register for our Beads of Courage team.
The Beads of Courage has an El Tour team?
Yes, we do. We have a team.
Tell me about that.
Well, we have a team. You can register once you pay the El Tour registration fee. If you add another $100 donation, you get a Beads of Courage jersey, a water bottle, and a Carry a Bead kit.
Sweet.
That's awesome. And you get to ride with
us. Now, there's tons of folks that ride in the El Tour.
Mm-hmm.
How many are you guys hoping to have carrying a bead?
Oh, Hopefully hundreds.
Exactly.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are going to have a tent out there?
Oh, well, we'll be there. Our presence, we will be there. So look out for us.
That's awesome. Good for you guys. Yeah. What else is going on? I mean, it seems like we've just kind of barely scratched the surface with Beads of Courage. You guys have got this great event at the Metal Arts Village coming up next Friday night.
Next Friday, yes.
People can come in courtesy of the Jim Click Automotive Group and get beads to carry. No charge.
No charge.
You've got your... generating a team for the L Tour. Mm-hmm. What else is going on?
We also are co-hosting a blood drive on October 27th with Team Lizzie Bell, the Red Cross, and Tucson Hop Shop.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Well, yes. The Tucson Hop Shop has really gotten involved quickly, haven't they?
Oh, they're doing lots of events, like many, many events. But, you know, Beads of Courage members really depend on blood donors to survive. Like, I know myself, I depended on 82 transfusions to survive.
82?
Yes. So having, you know, donating your blood is incredibly important. And if you do donate your blood, everyone 21 and up who donates will get a voucher for a beer at the hop shop.
Well
that's a nice
can
deal.
I give two?
So why wouldn't you want to come? You know,
that's right.
There is no reason I would want to go.
Is the blood drive at the Metal Arts?
It is. The
and
blood
what's
drive
the
will
date
be
of
at
that
the
again?
Metal Arts. It is the 27th of October, and it's from 3 to 7 p.m.
3 to 7 p.m.
Yes.
On October 27th at the Metal Arts Village. Now, folks, the Metal Arts Village is on Dodge, just north of Fort Lowell on the east-hand side of the street. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be that easy to miss, but when you're on Dodge heading north or when you're on River Road heading south, it's on the east-hand side of the street. It's very cool. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, a friend of ours... who is that young man's name? Remember, you used to work at a...
Steve Kimball.
Steve Kimball. Oh, yeah. I think it's Steve's brainchild, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
So yes. Steve's doing
little
wonderful...
Little shout-out for Steve.
Little big shout-out for Steve. He's doing great things over there, so that's great. So you guys have got blood drives, mm-hmm. carry a bead program. You're having a big L Tour push to get people to carry beads. Folks, Beads of Courage is a great, 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 great organization because of what it does to help folks. And you hear on the Friend Jeff Show, you hear us talk all the time about supporting Steel Children's research to find a cure for pediatric cancer. You're here, you've heard us talk about Beads of Courage before. You've heard us talk about Ben's Bells, Make-A-Wish, our friend Rob LeMaster over at Make-A-Wish. Those are great organizations that you can actually give money to and help support their mission. Ben's Bells, you can bell people. You can give people those cool... what are those little bracelets that they give?
The friendship bracelets.
The friendship bracelets.
Kindness bracelets.
Kindness bracelets. But Beads of Courage is one of the few organizations that you can actually spend 5 minutes of your time, no money, and make an unbelievable difference in a sick child's life. We highly encourage you to come out and check these guys out. Mm-hmm. Your store is open.
The international store.
Yeah, the international store.
It's headquarters.
Headquarters at the Tucson Metal Village.
Right.
What are the hours of that store?
We're open from 9 to 4 from Monday through Friday.
And not on the weekends?
Not usually on the weekends, only for events.
Got it. And it seems to me like the events are ongoing.
Yes, they are. We have many, many going on in October.
What's your website?
Beadsofcourage.org.
Beadsofcourage.org. Get out there, folks. Please support these guys because they make a huge difference in Tucson. And you're homegrown, your international headquarters are here, and you guys are the reason that we do this show to promote folks like you, because you make not only a difference in the kids' lives here in Tucson, but you make difference in kids' lives all over the world.
Thank you, Ray.
No, thank you for what you guys do. All right, honey, anything else?
No, thank you.
All right, folks, we got lots more. We got some spooky stuff. But I think you're going to love the second part of our show, so hang around.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Ronstadt Insurance, and Casa de la Luz Hospice.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
Hola, Tucson. This is Jeff Ronstadt with my lovely esposa, Tiana.
Hi.
Okay. I want to change it up
we,
now.
Yeah, we got to come up with like a new like thing for you. Cause,
howdy? No.
No, but something.
Hey, y'all.
Because Fred's always like, this is the Fred Jeff Show, blah, blah, blah. And I go, hola, Tucson. So we got to come up with something for you, honey.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Bring in my Tampa roots.
We are here talking about the people, places, events, history, and culture that make Tucson and Southern Arizona a great place to live. You can follow us on Facebook. No, wait a minute. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check out this tome of wisdom and entertainment at fredandjeff.com. All right, I've done. Fred, as if you were with us in the first half of the show, Fred's somewhere in a bunker in Colorado looking for tequila and cigars. We miss him dearly, but we wish him safe travels back to the old Pueblo. And we've got lots of stuff going on here on the show, Tiana.
I know. It's a fun day.
It is a fun day. Fun, fun day. So earlier we talking to Angeline from the Beads of Courage. Before that, we went through our whole community calendar. And now, the pièce de résistance, mm-hmm. we are going to talk about one of my favorite things.
Mine that, too.
Yeah? Well, and you know, you like it so much, you're a big sponsor of
it. I'm a sponsor this year, yes.
Yeah, of the Downtown
exciting.
Lecture Series.
Yes.
Love the Downtown Lecture Series.
So we first got involved in the Downtown Lecture Series when they did it on happiness.
That's right.
And that was it. We were
hooked.
Hooked. And last year was food. Which
right.
was very good.
Food
we
was
enjoyed
fun.
That immensely. And this year is going to be on immortality. And so my slogan, tagline, how do you want to say that?
So folks, what you got to know is a couple, 3 weeks ago, Tiana's company, Power Women Investing, became a sponsor of the Downtown Tucson Lecture Series. And they sent her an email saying, hey, help us, give us the Power Women Investing tagline. And she came to her creative husband, me, and said, what do you think I should write? And I said, well, you help people figure out how to retire, right?
Yes.
How am I going to get from point A to point B and not just rely on Social Security?
Right.
And the other thing that you do is you help people, send their kids to college. You help people save to send their kids to college. You help people save money for charitable organizations.
And legacy planning.
And legacy planning. And so what does a legacy plan let you do? It lets you live forever. And
yep.
So that's your tagline.
Live forever, let me show you how.
That's it.
So we're going to talk about immortality today. We have a guest on our show. And I want to tell you, they are coming up. They're the next 5 Wednesdays at the Fox Theater. They are free. The actual lectures start at 6:30, but the doors open at 4:00. And I would say, really, the box office opens at 4:00 with the doors opening as well.
Right, because it's a first come, first serve.
It is.
But folks, we have 2 VIP tickets for this coming Wednesday. So stick around and listen, because we're going to give them away towards the end of the show. But we have 2 VIP tickets for this Wednesday's lecture. And we'll let you know how you can win them in a little bit.
Absolutely. And I just want to mention, if you can't make it, they are still going to do the online broadcasting, which they've done now for 3 years, which is awesome. So you can listen while it's happening. And so I'll introduce our distinguished guest.
We have, ladies and gentlemen, drum roll, please.
Yes.
From the University of Arizona, a distinguished professor from the Department of English, Jerry Hogle.
Thank you.
Jerry, how you doing?
Great. It's such a pleasure to be here with you.
Well,
Jeff,
we're psyched
Tiana,
to
thank
have
you, for
you here.
Me.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been teaching English at the University of Arizona since 1974?
That's right. I came here with a fresh PhD from Harvard, thinking I had all the answers, and discovered I had almost none of them.
And what led
and
you
my,
to believe that?
My students helped me see that.
There it is.
But I've enjoyed teaching at the U of A and doing research there and other things for many, many years. And I've seen great improvements, great expansion at the university. We now have the largest number of students we've ever had, over 42,000 students.
That's amazing.
And they keep applying to come.
Yeah.
And we are happy to serve them.
Good for you
I'm
guys.
I'm happy to be a part of that enterprise.
Wonderful.
That's awesome. So an English teacher, an English professor, and you went to Harvard.
Yes.
Now, what did you get your PhD? What did you write your thesis on?
Well, I wrote my dissertation.
Or dissertation.
On what might be called the theory of literature. And I was hired to teach that here, and I still do. That is, theories about what literature is and does from ancient times to the present day. But in the process, I wrote about theories of literature that had to do with the Romantic era, which is the late 18th and early 19th centuries, in England, later in the 19th century in America. And these are writers from Wordsworth and Coleridge to Shelley and Keats to Mary Shelley, yeah. the author
Mary
of
Shelley,
Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And American authors as well, like Edgar Allan Poe. And during that time, Gothic literature rose to be a major cultural force. And after a while, during the Romantic era, the idea of the vampire mm-hmm. joined Gothic literature, and it has become a major cultural force.
So now, wait a second. When you say Gothic literature,
yes,
help me understand what you mean by that.
Gothic literature has actually taken many, many different forms, but it's basically literature in which there is a kind of a haunted space, an antiquated space, even an antiquated spaceship. So the Alien movie, for example, is a Gothic story because it takes place in an alien, in a spaceship that is old and is haunted by things from the past that are secrets.
Very cool.
And so Gothic stories take place in haunted spaces, antiquated spaces with deep, dark secrets and with monsters or creatures or ghosts that arise because of the deep, dark secrets to haunt the more present day. And so the Gothic is frequently about the conflict between the present day and the old and the haunting.
Very cool. Clearly, this is something that you just are in love with. Well, how did you get this passion?
Well, part of it was just being acquainted with the literature and becoming fascinated by it in graduate school and after. But actually, I think I get it from where a number of other people do. I was one of those children who saw or felt monsters, ghosts, under the bed, in the closet. I was very big into that. And it would take a psychoanalyst to figure out. But I was very big into that. So I've always been, and at the same time, of course, it's all fictional.
You right.
know, in those cases, there were no ghosts, there were no monsters.
Though we don't think that at the time.
We don't think that at the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I've got an 11-year-old that is certain something's going to jump out and, you
well,
know, nibble
and,
on
and, him. And there are probably reasons for that, and it probably has something to do with something other than the monsters themselves. Mm-hmm. Just the fear of the big world. I mean,
absolutely.
The world is so big, you don't know when it's going to come at you with something that you cannot control.
Right.
So I've always been fascinated by why, even after childhood, why do we keep making up and enjoying stories that scare us when, in fact, they're fictional? I mean, why put ourselves up to be scared when we don't have to? Clearly, we want to be scared.
Yeah, that's a great question. Because we were just, you know, in between the break, we were just high-fiving because the Walking Dead series
yes.
is cranking up again
yes,
tonight.
Indeed.
And, I mean, that series, which is gruesome, has taken the country by storm.
Yes. Well, and the zombie, as one kind of Gothic monster figure, has a long history in the 20th century and has grown and developed, like many of these others, and represents certain fears that we have about, like, you know, our brains being taken away and us being forced to function like automatons, fears that we have about our culture. But we also enjoy embodying those fears in symbolic figures that are fictional, so that we can feel the fear, but at the same time feel safe. We feel the fear, our endorphins get exercised.
Sure.
That way, but at the same time, we know we're not watching absolutely the real thing. And so we're at a little distance from it, and so we feel safe from it, but engaged in the feelings at the same time.
Makes us feel alive.
Yes.
So you've given thousands of lectures.
I guess.
Well, I mean, just you've had tons of kids
yes.
that have rolled through
oh, yes,
your class.
Oh, yes, yes. Since what, 1974, that's a ton.
What's your favorite? And I mean, it's a terrible question to ask because you've probably got a ton of them, but what's your favorite topic in, you know, in the classroom that you just see these kids, their brains explode because they're so, it's such an amazing concept?
Well, there's many of them. It's hard to pick a number one, but I would say that I see them light up when we talk about how some figure that's a monster or a ghost or some kind of Gothic specter is bound up with fears, often repressed fears, about what's going on in real life right now.
Like
or,
a Frankenstein.
Or right at the time.
Right.
So Frankenstein, for example, I really see the students light up when we read the passage in which Victor Frankenstein, in Mary Shelley's original novel from 1818, sees the creature starting to come to life and beholds its face. He thought he was going to create a kind of a perfect new mm-hmm. human being.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's not. It's stitched together from animal and human body parts. But what shocks him in the face is not a simple ugliness, but the fact that the face has many colors in the original novel. And we get a sense that part of his reaction against the creature has to do with the racism of the time, and the fear that the purity of the Anglo-Saxon English race was going to be invaded and was being invaded by all these other colors.
And do you think that was Mary Shelley's intention?
I think it was one of her many considerations. Yes.
Wow.
Because we have evidence that she read a lot of texts about slaves and the whole slavery debate that was going on, and how they looked, and how they how Africans mixed black and yellow colors in their faces, and that's what the creature does. So she was concerned about all the ways in which we monsterize parts of humanity.
Wow.
In order to distinguish them from our so-called pure white selves. And she saw that as a problem, but at the same time, she saw that as a basis of human fear. So she incarnates it in this creature, one of many issues like that that she incarnates in this creature, to show how many of the things we fear and many of the things we monsterize are things that are actually going on deep-seated, things that we cannot resolve, quandaries that we cannot resolve in our culture at the time.
That's fabulous. And you, and the sad part about that is those fears keep, we keep reliving them and reliving them and reliving them.
Of course, for Gothic writers and Gothic filmmakers, that's great because sure. they have material to work with. And so, you know, the zombie keeps recurring, keeps reviving because there are, you know, it's a thrill ride.
Right.
And it's sort of fearsome, and it, and at the same time we feel safe, and we somehow feel that eventually the human heroes will win out.
Right.
But certain things that we worry about in our modern society, like being turned into brainless automatons, can be played out in disguise at the same time.
Wow. Okay, folks, sadly, we have to take a break. That went by really fast. But stick around because we have lots more with Dr. Hogel and the Downtown Lecture Series. So stick around for more here on The Fred and Jeff Show. This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, Power Women Investing, and Mayfield Florist.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show.
Hola, Tucson. This is The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Jeff Ronstadt with my lovely bride, Tiana.
Hey, y'all.
All right, I like it. And you're listening to The Fred and Jeff Show, where we talk about the people, places, events, history, and culture that make Tucson and Southern Arizona a wonderful place to live. And you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and as Fred likes to say, you can subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or just check out our website at fredjeff.com. And with us today on the show, well, honey, I'll let you start. You've got a great intro that talks about the Downtown Lecture Series.
Wonderful. So the Downtown Lecture Series is the University of Arizona College of Science and Behavioral Sciences, the People College. And they actually study the people and their connections with each other, their past, and the world around them to better understand the complexities that shape our daily lives. The Downtown Lecture Series is designed to share those insights by inviting U of A faculty, which we're thrilled to have Jerry Hogel with us today, to take the stage of the Fox Theater and share their work. And this year, they are exploring immortality and how our beliefs about life beyond death shape the human experience. So, Jerry, let's hear what you're going to talk about on October 28th.
Okay.
Down at the Fox.
Just to be clear, the series starts this coming week.
Right.
That's right.
Does. Wednesday
evening at 6:30 with my superb colleague, Professor Ed Wright, talking about the histories and mysteries of heaven as it's evolved down through time. On October 28th, Halloween week, I'm pleased to be talking about the dark immortality of the vampire, a major figure in Gothic literature, film, theater, and television. We've heard about, of course, blood donations.
Right,
earlier today.
Evangeline from the Beads of Courage, right.
Right. But this is the opposite of that. A vampire is a figure, a symbolic figure, a mythic figure, ever since the 18th century, starting in Europe, who is immortal only because when he dies, or she dies, she's risen from the dead, usually because of a pact with the devil, and lives on immortally, sometimes over century, by sucking people's blood.
Good times.
Day after day, year after year.
Oh, no. That...
And originally, the vampire as a Christian figure, a Christian dark figure, was thought of as being kind of the opposite of Jesus Christ. Jesus took on the sins of the world, died and was reborn, but ascended into heaven, bearing those sins with him. The vampire is thought of as the dark opposite of that, as a figure who rises from the dead, but then proceeds to suck the life out of the sinful living, and keep those people, vampires themselves, determined to live on in a cursed and unblessed state.
So, Jerry, who can you tell us who is the original writer?
There is no
of vampire
writer.
Lore.
There is no original writer. There's a series of oral legends, most of which we think were generated in Eastern Europe, in what is now Romania, part of which is Transylvania, and those legends made their way westward. And were adapted and transformed.
But how would
so
they
there
come
is
up...
no original creator of the vampire idea.
But how do you think that they came up with this anti-religious icon or anti, you know, Jesus icon?
The area where most of these legends, now I have to say, legends about creatures coming back to suck blood go back much further than this. They go back to ancient China, where if you don't worship your ancestors, they can come back in bodily form and eat you out of house and home, even after they're dead. So the idea of the vampire, so-called, is very, very old. But the word was used first in the 1600s to describe this kind of figure from Eastern Europe who, and I think it's because there was a mixture in Eastern Europe of Greek Orthodox and Catholic and Muslim forms of religion. And in all of those, there was this idea of, can you come back from the dead in a cursed state? Mm-hmm. And so one form that took in this combination of religions was the vampire,
wow,
rising up from the dead and then sucking the lifeblood out of the living, that came to be seen, particularly in the West, as a kind of antichrist.
But, you know, the interesting thing about this lecture series, though, is the first gentleman, Dr. Wright, is talking about the histories and mysteries of heaven. The second lecturer is Mary Steiner, and she's talking about love and death in the Stone Age, which I'm assuming has a lot to do with paleoglyphs and,
yes,
and
well,
you know.
She's giving a brilliant talk. I've heard a version of it already. It deals with the fact that the Neanderthals were the first kind of pre-human race to bury their dead in the form that they died, and to think of them as existing beyond life in the same identity. That's an evolution in the process of the human race.
The final two, you've got two ancient philosophers on why death is not bad, not evil, and then the final one is the elusive self and life and death.
Yeah,
yours is. So these all seem to be very, very philosophical.
Yes.
Yours is a different sort of animal because
well,
you're
it's
taking...
mythical. It deals with myth, and it deals with how myths are transformed from age to age and place to place and from time to time. Because one of the things we're dealing with is the myth of the vampire, after it got incorporated, after its initial definitions into a lot of Western writing and theater, evolved. And it evolved to the point where we have Dracula in 1896,
sure,
Bram Stoker's novel. And there the vampire embodies all sorts of things, including the fear of disease coming into the West from the East, blood diseases. Mm-hmm. It includes, sad to say, anti-Semitism, the fear of the Jews. Dracula's face is the stereotypical face at that time of the Jew. In anti-Semitic literature.
Wow.
It looks exactly like the Jews did in those cartoons that you saw in anti-Semitic literature of the 1890s. So there's a lot of cultural fears that are being embodied in Dracula, and I've just named a couple. One of the others is that Dracula vamps women, and as soon as they are vamped, they become hugely strength, you know, huge strength, powerful figures, and they kill children rather than have them. So there was this fear that women were to become too powerful, and it's evolved even beyond then into what we have today.
That's amazing. And then it's funny because you look at today's literature and theater, and you see the Twilight series,
yes,
and True Blood.
And now vampires can be good.
Yeah, right. Everybody
wants to
be a vampire.
One of the things
I'm
going to talk about is why that has changed from the time of Bram Stoker to the late 20th and early 21st century. Why do we suddenly have good vampires like Edward in Twilight, and their bad alternatives? And why do the werewolves and the vampires get together on the good side and fight the bad vampires in the Twilight series? Uh-huh. Why have we gotten there?
And this is what you're talking about,
yes,
in your...
Oh,
this is
going to
be fantastic. Oh, we'll be there. We'll be there. And folks, if you want to be there, you've got to head down. The only tickets that are guaranteed are if you get VIP tickets. You got to buy VIP tickets. But everything else is first come, first serve down at the Fox. The ticket office opens at 4 on Wednesday, and you go down and you get in line to try to get a spot. But we here on the Fred and Jeff Show are going to give away 2 VIP tickets, and we're going to give it away to the first caller to our little Fred and Jeff line at 428-5104. That's 428-5104. If you're the first caller, we're going to get you 2 VIP tickets to this Wednesday's event. Don't be surprised if you get the voicemail, because we're live on the air right now, but give us a call at 428-5104. Jerry Hogle, amazing stuff that you do.
Thank you.
Amazing. And it's cool that you're kind of sandwiched between all these philosophers and you with your mythology, and it's right on the cusp of Halloween.
And just right in time.
It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So, have you written anything that we want to pick up?
There's 2 anthologies of essays, The Cambridge Companion to the Gothic Fiction and The Cambridge Companion to Modern Gothic, both of which I put together and introduced and have many scholars talking about these issues.
And are they on Amazon? Can we pick them up on Amazon?
Yes, they are.
All right. So, we'll put a link to those on the Fred and Jeff Show website. Jerry, thanks so much for coming and hanging out with us on your center. And your beautiful wife has been over here.
Thank
my beautiful
you.
Esposa.
Yes.
Esposa, that's right. She's been
thank
over
you.
Here smiling and chuckling. So we really appreciate you spending some time with us today.
I've enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks. Honey, 30 seconds. You got something fun? Say hi to your mom and Ron. We want to say, hey, congratulations to Trevor from Steel Door. He's up and running, feeling good.
We're
Trevor,
so
we're
happy.
Glad to have you back on
and
your wheels.
And we look forward to teeing it off with Kids of Steel today.
All right. So, folks, get out there and make it a great one. Meet your neighbor. And we'll talk to you again next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show. This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Sleeping Frog Farms and Fred's Meditation Salon and Tequila Lounge.